Show Me Your Mic. This is episode number 35. And for this episode, I get to talk with Mike Vardy, fellow Canadian, fellow podcaster, fellow user of websites that have awkward names to sometimes spell. Register of domains, I guess, to sometimes spell. He's the co-host of Mike's on Mike's podcast over on the 5x5 network. And we chat about podcasting, of course, but also Canada, increasing my Canadian content with every episode, productivity, workflows, ideas for podcasts, all that kind of stuff. So enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while. Bye.
What's the podcasting community in Saskatoon like?
The podcasting community itself is non-existent.
Yeah. We just did an article here in Victoria about the podcasting community. It's not very big here either.
Yeah.
There's a few of us. But the guy who interviewed me, he's like, do you know anyone else who does it? I'm like, a radio show host does it. And there's these other, and he told me about two other people who I had no idea that did it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they did it. And of course I have people coming up to me now all the time since that article saying, hey, I want to start a podcast. Can you help me? I'm like, no, I can, here's Dan Benjamin's Hive Logic post.
Yeah.
Go.
The classic,
here's Mike Curley's podcasting project blog. Go. Yeah. You know, like that's kind of where I point them to. Cause you know, it's, I just don't have time. I mean, I've gone through so many mics at this point and I've passed them on to people who have said, hey, do a podcast. That or have intended to do a podcast, and there's so many nice little blue mics out there that people are not using for those purposes.
Yeah.
They just sit like idly by beside their computer all day. So,
yeah, exactly. And then often that's actually how this will be the show. I've started recording. So,
I'll talk with
Mike Vardy of Mike on Mics, amongst other things, which we'll discuss. But I know that's like buying the gear that I did, which was way overboard when I bought it. Like it's a big mixer and the Heil PR40 mic and stuff. I followed the Dan Benjamin guide to a point anyways. And, but it was kind of like, well, I know if I don't follow through on this and, you know, in a year it's sitting and gathering dust, I can probably sell it to some other guy or girl who thinks they're going to get big into podcasting and just pass on the
or a musician, right?
Exactly.
Like,
or
a DJ. Like I've seen people who have that. I'm like, hey, that's a podcasting mic. Like, it's hey, someone's got the Rode Podcaster. They're using something like that. So yeah, it's pretty interesting to see what people can and are considering doing. And then I mean, people ask, oh, how easy is it to do? I'm like, well, it if you put in the time and schedule it, like if you make it a commitment, it's not, once you start doing it, you get into a groove, it becomes almost second nature. But it's the building. It's like anything else, right? It's the building of the habit. It's getting better and better over time. Because I mean, I've been podcasting for, gosh, easily five years at this point, because I did Discultured like for the longest time. And there's a whole Canadian podcasting network of people out there. I mean, there's a conference that used to happen in Ottawa called PAB, Podcasters Across Borders, that I went to. And there was like hundreds of people there. It was a big thing. Julian Smith. I mean, you know who Julian is, right? You've heard the name before?
Yes. Why am I blanking on?
He does. He wrote with Chris Rogan, Trust Agents and stuff. Yes. He also is the founder of Breather and has his, you know, In Over Your Head blog. Super awesome, smart guy. He's one of the first podcasters. You know, I mean, there's so many that are out there. And yet you're right. Like living in the small community I live in, there's like three people that were in the article, and they couldn't really, I mean, there's probably a bunch of like hobbyists that are, you know, down in their basements working on it, and that's cool. But, it's kind of neat to see it grow. Like the equipment's cheaper now. I don't even have a mixer. Like you have the mixer and all that stuff, right? Like I don't have any of that stuff. I've got my Blue Spark Digital, right? That's what I use now, which I bought at Macworld. And I've got I'm wearing these Velodyne V-Quiet noise-canceling headphones because I finally decided to get some over-ear headphones because I was using earbuds forever. And then, you know, for recording, it's, you know, Skype with call recorder. And ever since it's just been me and Schechter doing the episodes, generally it's been, kind of me just saying, hey, we'll just quick time it, you know? So, and then GarageBand for editing, right? So, I mean, you don't need a lot to do it. It's just a matter of taking the time to do it.
Yeah, I know. That's where I got in sort of tail end of and there, not that there isn't people still out there doing like the big production thing, but it was kind of like just before that set of tools that you just listed became more the commonplace thing. It was up until that point, it was kind of, well, Leo Laporte and, you know, the big, mm-hmm. huge studio. And then there's this upstart Dan Benjamin doing, you know, some interesting stuff, but he still has a lot of the old school kind of gear and stuff. And so it's kind of like, that's what I need to attain for or strive for or whatever. But yeah, these days, and I like, if you're doing a multi-person show, that's where some of the other technical and live streaming like we are right now,
yeah,
it complicates things a bit, but there is still even software ways around that these days too. And so it's definitely getting easier and easier, as most things are with tech. I was just going to say, you mentioned folks interested in starting podcasting and stuff. That's something I've just started doing, and I mentioned it on the last episode, actually, is over on sskTN.com/newsletter. There's a checkbox for somebody. If you're interested in, presumably you're listening to this because you're either interested in podcasting or you're interested in Mike, but if...
Probably the former.
Probably. If there's a whole bunch of Mike on mics on Mike puns or jokes or...
There will be lots. Yeah, it's either that or hop beer puns that we're going to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I don't know if you saw the retweet, but from the not unprofessional Technical Difficulties podcast, they had Merlin Mann on an episode, and I think you're familiar with those guys.
Gabe and Eric, right?
Yeah, and they have the Potato Wire, whatever his his real name, anyways, the small child.
Yes.
Doing the show notes, and he had linked to my show from the Merlin episode when I had Merlin on, but they had spelt it actually, show me your mic, like Mike, and I just pinged him on Twitter and said, hey, could you just change it to Mike? But then now he just reminded me that actually was, he was actually correct in this week anyways, yeah. Show me your mic. So
yeah,
I digress. So you're... The current show, the main show, I think the only show as far as I could find anyways that you're doing is Mike on Mics.
Mike's on Mics. Yeah. With me and Michael Schechter of Workflowing. And we're actually coming up to episode 100 in the next couple of
weeks.
Yeah,
I was doing research the other day, and it was 97. You just put out today actually as we record 98.
Yeah, I was sick last week, so we have to pull double duty this week. It's one of those things where I've never actually had to call in sick for a podcast, but strep throat where you can't swallow, let alone talk, is one of those times where we kind of said, okay, we're going to push it off. And so we did. We pushed it off. Funnily enough, this episode is the one that just came out, 98. We don't talk about that, but 99 we will, because, you know, I mean, I want to talk about sick days and stuff like that, because as a freelancer, and I don't even think I'm a freelancer anymore. I'm pretty much, I think I've gone into the entrepreneurial side of things where I'm now my own business kind of thing. Calling in sick is generally not an option.
Yeah. Well, I know you have kids, and I do too. And I kind of live in fear, especially in winter. Sick flus and whatever seem to go around more in winter here anyways. But I just sort of live in fear of our kids getting sick, because I know that means then in a week or so, I'm probably going to get sick, and I'm going to, like you, I own my own business. And so it means I'm still going to keep doing the thing I do. It's just going to be more painful or more mucus.
Yeah. Well, the thing is as a lot of people, when they ask me, how do you do this stuff from home? Right. Cause right now, like as we're recording this, I'm sitting in the master bedroom. Cause that is my office. My kids are just like, they're just starting to get up and get ready for school and stuff. How do I do this on a day where, when I'm home with my kids, I'm like, well, that's why we record before, while my wife is still home. Or I just don't do it when my kids are home. So you have to like find a way to make all these things work. And once you start setting boundaries and stuff like that up, then you're going to put yourself in a much better position to do it. And you can do that from like the office for like whatever work you do. You can do boundary setting is something you can do. It's just a lot of people aren't necessarily willing to do it. They'd rather just have the boundary set up for them. So that's one of the things that I try to not just to talk about with people, but also try to do myself. I have to walk the walk, right?
Because
if I don't, then who am I, right? Like I'm just a guy with a fancy mic and a podcast with a guy from Brooklyn. So
yeah. So let's talk about the podcast. I want to dive into what you actually do, your day job stuff too, but let's stick to the, start with anyways, the main reason we're here together. And then you can tell me about how I can be doing things better with workflows. But maybe do some marriage counseling for since I work at home as well. No, but so
anything for a fellow Canadian.
Yeah,
anything for a fellow Canadian.
Exactly. And
we gotta stick together.
And podcaster. That's the. It's actually exactly. funny because I had. The last I missed a week last week, you know, committed the cardinal sin of podcasting. But and then the week before that was just myself because I had scheduling error. And then but before that was Justin Jackson, a fellow Canadian and a fellow yep. BC boy as well. Yes. Now transplanted yeah, BC.
And he's going to be on the panel with us. I've never met him. I've actually never we've never exchanged anything other than, you know, I've followed him on Twitter and I get his newsletter. We're actually gonna be on the same panel at New Media Expo with myself and Michael Schechter and Chase Reeves and actually Chase lived in Canada for a while. So yeah. The only one that will have no Canadian component other than he has to put up with Canadians is Schechter. And I cannot wait because everyone, I've had people from Canada like actually email me and stuff that listen to our podcast and say, hey, you know, because one of the things we do on the podcast just to kind of get to where you want to go is that there's the whole self-deprecating humor that Canadians are really good at. Like there's a good reason we've sent so many humorists down to the States is because, you know, we've got a lot of them. Some are way funnier than others, and we all like to try our hand at it every once in a while. But the one thing we can do is we can be that whole play that whole inferiority complex up to the States like nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
Well, I get a lot of emails from I get a lot of people saying, you know, like, why don't you just give it back to Schechter every once in a while? I'm like, well, you know, I mean, he knows. I mean, it's a nice, fun interplay. But man, on that panel, two guys who are from Canada, one who is married, I think he's married to a Canadian. And Leslie.
Yeah, she's actually from Saskatchewan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So three, he's going to be severely outnumbered. So I'm going to get to do it right there, live. So that's what I'm holding. I'm just saving all the little nuggets and writing them down on the capture cards. Okay. All right, that's a good one for January. That's a good one for January. So
yeah.
So, yeah.
So how did, we'll already rabbit trail before we even got into the topic, but New Media Expo, what's the draw for you? Is it a podcasting draw or is it more just like in general kind of?
I've been going to more conferences and I just like to meet people in person. I mean, I think the social networks and all that stuff are fantastic. And you know, I mean, that's how Schechter and I met. We met over, over Twitter, and that's how Mike's on Mike's got started. It was one of those things where he said, hey, you know, I don't know how it happened now. But basically it was along the lines of, we had this conversation and he said, you know, we should do a podcast together called, you know, and I think even the word Mike's on Mike's even came up in there. And I said, sure, let's do it. He's like, what? and so we Skyped and that Skype call became episode zero. And that was, you know, like I said, we're coming up to 2 years now. But I mean, going to these conferences, I mean, we're on a podcasting panel, which is great. But I've met so many cool people at conferences. And I mean, whether it's the World Domination Summit in Portland, which is fairly close for me to get to, I went to Max FunCon years ago, which is the one that's run by Jesse Thorne it was before of Public Radio International when he was doing Maximum, you know, he's doing like the Sound of Young America and stuff. Now he's just Maximum Fun. And so I got to see a lot of cool people down there. And of course, podcasters are there, but they're from a totally different, you know, different vein to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I just like the idea of meeting people in person. I get to go to South by Southwest for the first time this year, too. I've never been.
Oh, nice.
I'm actually on a panel there as well. So that's going to be kind of cool. But I like meeting people in person, you know, hanging out and stuff like that. There's an energy there that, you know, you just can't replicate online. So that's one of the reasons why I go. And Vegas is not that far for me. And it's actually, I mean, you know what it is trying to fly out of Canada, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, I mean, luckily I live close enough to Seattle where in some cases it's like, okay, well, if I add the hotel overnight fee plus know what? It's still cheaper for me to fly to Seattle. So I'm going to fly to Seattle. And then I have a few more options. Whereas, you know, out of Vancouver, which is like one of the busier airports, it's expensive to fly out of Canada. So you have to, I've taken the train to Portland more often. And I took the bull last year. They have, and anyone who lives in the States on the Eastern Seaboard or even out west on the Western Pacific Northwest will know of the Bolt bus, where you can take the bus for like super cheap to like short distance destinations. Last year I took the Bolt bus to Portland, which is like, and it was, I think it was, what was it, like $28 one way. from it. And it's like a 6 hour drive, but I'm like, hey, I'll take that. Like, and it was a nice, comfortable bus, and it's only like a 6 hour bus ride. And I actually beat like half the guys that were taking the train because the train got stopped because of some like hot rail incident or something like that. And I don't know if that's actually a train incident or some kind of drug incident that was going on, but but yeah, no, we I mean, so it's not cheap to travel outside of Canada. So I kind of pick my spots and decide which ones I want to go to, and traveling for a distance, especially being like as far west as you can pretty much go in North America, it makes it a bit of a challenge too.
Yeah, no, I feel that pain.
And I mean, you're in Saskatoon, right? Like, you're smack dab in the, like, because you're pretty much smack dab in the middle of the province, right?
Yeah, well, and, yeah, and it's we're not big enough yet that we have we're flying to Calgary first, and then out or flying
down. And no one wants to go to Regina.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Five people got that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the podcast.
Yes, let's get back to that.
We'll get 50 minutes in, we'll start talking podcasting. So yeah. Where you touched a bit on where it started, I guess, where how you guys connected over Twitter. What was sort of the impetus for the origin story, I guess, of Mics on Mics, and where has it gone?
Well, I mean, I'd been doing podcasting, like I said, for several years. And I actually originally started podcasting on my own with when I was doing the Eventualism stuff. So I actually created the Eventualism podcast and I did interviews. So I interviewed like Seth Godin, and that's actually how I what happened was I interviewed Jonathan Colton for the podcast as well. So I interviewed a few, like David Allen. That's kind of where I cut my teeth a bit. So that way when I did interviews with them on a future podcast or even for Mics on Mics, it was kind of like, all right, well, you know what, here we go. We're familiar with each other. I was far more used to it. So when you hear me doing interviews on Mics on Mics and stuff, I've done it for a few years now. So it's a bit, I've been able to adopt that bit more conversational style, but I also kind of have a sense of, hey, this person is more used to the back and forth question answer stuff. So let's just dive back into that. But then, So I was doing Discultured, and then I started to do my own podcast when I was working for Work Awesome, which was a site that was run by Envato out of Australia. And the Envato people, for anyone who might not know that name off the top, ThemeForest, they run that and the Tut sites. So I did the podcast for them, and it was my first instance of getting paid to podcast. I'm like, oh, I like this. Let's keep doing that. And then when Envato sold Work Awesome to Tina Sue of the Think Simple Now Network, they kept me on just to do the podcast. And eventually I just said, you know what? I think it's time for me to do my own. So I started Productivarty, which was like, I'm like, hey, I can do a punny little thing with my name, and it sounds like productivity. And, you know, that was the beginning of me adopting names that were very difficult to spell or understand for my work. So I come by that honestly. And then, so I was doing Productivarty, and that's when Schechter and I exchanged on Twitter, and I realized how tough it was. And, you know, I mean, you've done interviews and then you've done solo shows. Like, it's a totally different thing to do a show with somebody else versus doing a show on your own. Mm-hmm. Because doing a show on your own, I mean, you don't have to script it, but you have to kind of have unless you're used to just going on the fly and going off the cuff, you have to make it really compelling for people to listen to. It's very difficult. That's why you see so many like conversational based podcasts, right? Because you may not necessarily, if you're bored of the one person, at least you can see what the other person's going to say. And then the other person may draw something out of that other person that brings them back to life a bit. So I was, you know, I was doing 20 minute episodes of these podcasts, and I realized, you know, if I keep doing Productivarty and I'm doing Mics on Mics, I'm going to be cannibalizing one for the other. I just don't have the listenership. So I quit doing Productivarty and just went into Mics on Mics full bore. And yeah, we started with episode zero. And I mean, like any podcast, you listen to the first, you know, you listen to it now versus before, and you could hear the differences, you know, either the audio quality, even the mics at that time. Both the hosts and the equipment, as well as, you know, just, and then the style changed, right? Like we were doing the, Patrick Rowan used to do on his Enough podcast, How Bare Is Your Air? So we would do a segment called How Packed Is Your Mac? Which is like, you know, how much crap can you put on your Mac to get, you know, what's the stuff that you could probably get rid of? And then we kind of challenged people to get rid of it. It was kind of cool. But I mean, like any other segment that has a shelf, I mean, it's going to have a shelf life, right? So, and then we didn't do interviews at first. Then we started bringing on guests fairly regularly, or like sporadically, then fairly regularly. Then we evolved into like a, hey, every week we have to have a guest. And then I noticed that you were like sending out tweets saying scheduling's not fun. It's not, especially if you've got one guy who lives out in New York and another guy who lives, you know, on the West Coast. You're basically like 3 hours difference. So for me, when Schechter can record, it's dinner time for us, or it's just after dinner time, or it's just before the kids are supposed to go to bed. So we have like a really tight window, which is why I can't wait till I have my own office at some point, because then I can just, you know, hide away in the office to do it. But that's kind of how it went. Is we, I mean, I had my own podcast, and Schechter and I kind of grew out of it. And this is Schechter's first podcasting experience. Like, he hadn't done anything before. So it's kind of cool to see how we've grown. And I mean, he takes the lead a lot in a lot of cases. And that's partly by, you know, by default and partly by design. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I've done this more, so he has to catch up. It's just like he's doing stuff that he, you know, like he hadn't done before. And this is, some of this is not old. It's old hat to a point, right? So it's fun. And that's the thing, is that like recently we just decided not to do guests as often. And we're kind of getting back to the roots, and that's what you want to do in a podcast like that too. Sometimes you have to kind of shake it up a bit and reinvent it to make it, you know, not just interesting for the listeners again, but also maybe a bit more interesting for yourself again, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. Often it feels like, anyways, podcasters are too reluctant to evaluate what they're doing and why, and even they, with some success, they might feel obligated to keep doing what they have been doing. And I know Justin Jackson, actually, not to keep pimping his stuff, but when I interviewed him, to the probably dismay or shock of many podcasters, he kind of stopped it when he had a whole bunch of sponsorship lined up, because he just wasn't feeling it anymore. He wasn't enjoying it. He wasn't, you know, those kinds of things. And to his credit, in being able to stop and recognize that kind of stuff. And I think that's a really valuable tool to have as you start podcasting and are, getting your show out there, but recognize, because it just makes it a healthier show overall. If you're not enjoying it, you can tell your guests. Maybe you're frustrated with what you're trying to do, or not having guests, and maybe you need to bring on some guests for some fresh looks at what you're doing. All certainly can help.
Well, and the thing is that you kind of we didn't just decide to do this either. We kind of said, hey, you know, we talked to Mike Hurley, our fearless leader, and we said, you know, what can we do? Like, what can we do and we'd be lying if we don't pay attention to listeners, right? Like, listenership, I mean, numbers are there. They're there for a reason. I mean, in all, one of the things, I mean, I'm not big on, I mean, and this dives a bit into what I do, but I'm not big on quantity of work. I'm more big on quality of work, right? But quantitative data often affects qualitative results, right? Like, I mean, if you can look at it and say, hey, you know, why do we only have X amount of people, and or how do we get X amount of people? Then often there's a qualitative reason behind it, right? Like, okay, well, maybe we need to do this more, or maybe we're not reaching out to the right people. So, sometimes you just have to kind of sit back. And as a writer, because that's basically my main gig, is, you know, you have to be willing to, as they say, kill your darlings, right? Kill your babies, where it's like, all right, you know, this is all well and good, but I need to make a change here. I have to be willing to at least look at making a change here, because it's just going to make things better. Like, you know, that's why writers have editors, right? I mean, if I didn't use an editor for my books, then I'd be foolish, because a good editor will make good writing great, or bad writing good, or, you know, good writing better. So, I mean, I think you have to be precious with how you feel about your work more than the work itself necessarily. You know, maybe that's being a bit too glib, but I think that's honestly, like, if you're looking at what you're doing, whether it's podcasting or whatever, you have to be like, how do I really feel about this? And then that'll help inform you more about like what you're really doing, and what maybe you need to do to course correct, versus like the, okay, you know what, we're used to doing this. This is how we should just keep doing it, because change is hard and no one likes change. I mean, like we were saying, you know, you may lose people on the way initially, but, you know, maybe you'll get a different type of person back. That's kind of how it works. So,
Yeah, and actually, and as of I listened to episode 97, not 98, because it just came out today. But you guys were even talking in that episode about changes and just small. I think the word you used maybe was small incremental changes or something to that effect. Of, you know, that even now 90 nearing 100 episodes. I like to use markers like that, like nice round numbers or 50, 25, whatever. So this is episode 35 of this show, so we won't be making any changes. but yeah, like using those kind of markers in life and in a podcast career or show life or whatever, and sort of taking the opportunity to evaluate and figure out how you can make things better. And some of the I'm blanking right now on some of the little changes you were making to the show, but which that's again something that I think a lot of folk kind of just get stuck in a rut and don't really ever have the. And to be fair, we don't often have time to sort of breathe a bit and sort of have time moments of evaluation and thinking and processing. You're just kind of doing always. And which is just the nature of side jobs and their side hobbies and stuff like that we all have. So,
yeah. And I think that's one of the things, again, back to kind of what I do is that because there's a certain systems and tools you put in place and structures you put in place that can help give you that awareness a little bit more, that time where you can actually slow down and go, okay, you know, hey, is this working for me? Like, that's what I mean, honestly, that's why I was able to say to Productivity. I mean, it was working. I was making money. I was having sponsors and stuff, but I'm like, you know what? I won't be able to do both of these things very well because I have other things. So I have to decide. And my decision is, do I just tell Schechter, no, I'm not going to do mics on mics? Or do I say, you know what? Sorry, Productivity, I'm putting you on the shelf because it's just not something that I can do well at the same time as doing mics on mics very well. Because, I mean, I'm the guy that edits the shows, right? Schechter does the show notes. And thanks to Brett Terpstra's fabulous script of being able to get like show notes, links, and all that stuff done up really easily, he can do them, I would say, fairly quickly. Editing takes a bit longer, right? Because you have to, you know, there's level, you know, you have to level things out a bit, and you have to make sure that if someone doesn't hit the record button at the same time as you, then you have to match those out a bit. And then, of course, there's adding the sponsor spots in at the right times, because there's an art to that too, right? Like, if you have an ad, you want to break the conversation at just the right time. You just don't want to throw it in there in the middle of something that's a salient point, right? You got to say, oh, there's a natural break point. And that's something else that we've had to learn over time too. Like, Schechter likes to talk. So he'll, I'm like, you know, make sure that when they take a breath here, so that way, you know, like if there's some kind of edit point, take a breath and then take another breath and slow down so I have a spot to properly edit. Otherwise, and there's been times, as much as, Mike Hurley hates to interrupt the natural flow, where I've actually had to insert words in from previous episodes to make it sound like if Schechter go, you know, he'll say something and then the will roll into another word. I've actually had to go back and take like a the from a past episode and snap it in there so that I get a clean break. And I've actually never told Schechter this because it's like, whatever. It's just, you know, but that's the kind of thing that you sometimes have to do. So, I mean, there's work involved behind it, but it's so much fun to do because I get to talk to one of my really good friends every week about stuff that matters to me. And that's I think one of the big joys of doing what we do, right? Like, we are getting to talk right now, both, you know, live, I guess, as well as like for a recording, about stuff that we really enjoy. And let's face it, in the two places we live, how many people could we have this conversation with?
Yeah, no, exactly. Which we were talking about before the show, of how there is, like, in Canada anyways, it's sort of, you know, the Great White North for a good reason, because we're spread out, we're all the centers. We're not, like, you're over in BC there. I don't know if you're saying where you are, but, like, I know in Saskatoon here, there's a couple hundred thousand people here, but it still isn't, like, a big major center, or even, like, a Austin, Texas, like, a focus of technology.
But it is the place that if people are going to Saskatchewan, that's where they want to go.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to go to Regina.
Don't want to go to Regina. but no, the thing is, and that's actually, it's quite funny. One of the things when I was working for The Next Web is that, and I really love The Next Web. They treated me really well while I was there. I'm still doing some writing for them. They wanted a Canadian editor, and they have a Canadian editor, and they're in Europe, right? And Europe's fairly compact. Like, you can make it through several countries. Canada, for those, I mean, most people know this now because it's been like, we're pretty proud about it. We're like the second largest country on the planet. So we take up a lot of space.
Yeah, physical and space, not
physical space, yeah. not population density. We're like way down the list there.
Yeah.
But in fact, what is it, like 80% of our population live within a certain amount of miles or kilometers, for those of us who are metric, from the border. So they would say, hey, you can be the Canadian editor. I'm like, okay, well, do I have, like, I need a writer in Toronto and a writer in Calgary. No, you can cover all of Canada. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Much like Europe has different countries that have different cultures, each of these cities, like Calgary is very different from Vancouver. Yes, they're both in, you know, they're not very far from, they're about a 2-hour flight from one another. But if you've been to Calgary and you've been to Vancouver, you know that Calgary is kind of like, Alberta is kind of like our Texas, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Calgary is like the Dallas, I would say, of like it's, you know, I mean, it's becoming less conservative, but it's been pretty, I mean, from my experience, and again, those who are from Calgary are going to probably go, no, there's some cool spots. Yeah, exactly. But it's generally been that, like, I found it that way. Whereas, you know, Vancouver is a bit more, you know, I would say San Francisco / Seattle. Mind you, Vancouver's got things that I both love and don't love about it as well. Same with Victoria. There's all those places. But each of them have their own little cultures. The startup cultures there are very different. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, writing about a story, writing about Toronto, the Toronto people are going to be very different than the people in Vancouver. And Ottawa's got a great startup culture. And you know what? I wouldn't be at all surprised at some point if Saskatoon has it too, because Saskatoon just seems to be that kind of place where people would want, like, if there's going to be all the people in Saskatchewan that are interested in doing tech stuff, they're all going to live there, right?
Well, it is. And there is that developing here because it's because of, you know, it's the chicken and the egg thing, I guess, where there isn't a lot of folks here, so the cost of living is quite a bit lower. It's mm-hmm. you know, these days you can do your business anywhere, start a business anywhere almost, and still impact the same world. And so we're certainly seeing that here, and so that's where it feels like there should be more of a, and there is folks interested in podcasting just as far as that topic goes, but definitely not the community that you'd see elsewhere. Like, having a podcaster meet up here would be a, you could fit it in, you know, a booth at Tim Hortons or whatever.
Yeah. There you go. Do it. Yeah. Rent a Tim Hortons out, you know?
Well, just a booth.
Just a booth. Sorry. Well, you could rent, you know, I mean, there's probably how many Tim Hortons in Saskatchewan?
Oh, yeah.
You probably could have the whole one for like a day if you really needed it. Being originally from Hamilton, which is like the donut capital of Canada. And Tim Hortons is, CNN this week put a whole thing out about the 10 things that Canadians do best, or that Canada does best. And it was the first time I've actually read an article where they actually got a lot of it, like, bang on. Like, I didn't realize that we're one of the only places where you'll say, given the gears. You know, I didn't realize that. We are. Apparently we are. You know, we're like, hey, you know, I'm giving you the gears. Like, what? What are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. And, I mean, serviette, they say, oh, you say serviette instead of napkin. I'm like, okay, well, I say napkin more often than that now.
Yeah.
But things like, I was at Macworld, and we were at the Tuwa party, and I was hanging out with Brett Terpstra, and I said frickin', right? And he's like, oh, there it is. I'm like, what's there? He's like, the Canadian accent showed up. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, frickin', like, it's not something that I've heard, or freaking, or something I said in that vein kind of said, oh, now I know you're Canadian, because now all of a sudden all I hear is about and house and boot and all that stuff. But it's and the other thing about Canada, which I wish people would say more, and I think you probably would get this, you've traveled quite a bit across Canada, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that the further west you go, the slower people speak. So if you start out on the East Coast, you can have, I mean, it's the speed of the pace of life is slow, but the speed of talk is like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Whereas, and then you get to Ontario and it's still very fast, but that's because everybody's moving really quickly. And by the time you get out west, like Victoria, it's again like that kind of, you know, slowed mentality. And it was very tough adjustment working, like living in Ontario and then moving to British Columbia, especially where I live now. It was like a, because the culture is just very different, right? Like, people out here are very, you know, it's not slower. It's just their priorities are a little bit different in that I don't think it's I found that Toronto especially is like very much a live to work kind of place. Whereas here, people are like they work to live, like they do their work and then they go. And I mean, especially the, like you have people calling in sick here when there's like 6 inches of snow on the ground because they can't get out of their driveway. I'm like, what are you talking about? Get a shovel. Where's a shovel? Where can I buy? Then they're right. There's no shovels to be bought here when it snows. There's just none. And so it's a tricky place. But I mean, we're definitely a tech hotbed. Like we were right in. I mean, Vancouver is very hot, but so is Seattle and so is Portland, right? So we're right in that like really cool, like almost like the trapezoid or parallelogram, I guess is probably a better app of like tech stuff. So, I mean, it's a really cool place to be. But we've kind of gone on down another rabbit hole, haven't we?
Yeah.
Totally.
Anybody who's, if you're just tuning in, this is the Introduction to Canada podcast. I'm Chris, he's Mike. And
I'm getting it all out now because Schechter never lets me, he goes, I don't want to hear about Canada. I'm like, seriously, there's so much to know. Like here, I'll write a book about it.
Yeah, you had it all bottled up.
About it. Yeah. I wrote a book about it.
Yes. Let me see. Where are we going? What I wanted to ask you, bring it back to podcasting for for the last few minutes. is so you've got both of you, the two mics that are on the show are, you know, in the realms of productivity, workflow, technology, doing stuff better. And so I'm curious, as far as when it comes to podcasting, you kind of alluded to, you know, he does the show notes and you do the editing. But as far as actually preparing for a show and handling the various stuff that you have to do in, you know, whether it's scheduling guests and or just notes in preparation for an episode, what tools are you guys using? And then and how do you balance that workflow to actually make each episode? Because you have you're recording weekly or releasing a show weekly anyways, whether
we record every week. We really wish that we used to keep episodes in the can, but we used to keep too many of them in the can. And then we got depleted because during the travel schedule I had in November and stuff, we kind of just used episodes that were there. We're going to try to, I think it's always a good idea if you're doing a podcast to have at least one episode in the can for those instances where there is a sickness that happens or you just can't get together. So we're going to do two. Actually, this Thursday, we're going to record two episodes. And we're coming up to the holidays too, right? Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to record two episodes Thursday and then two on Monday. And then we're done all the way until we see each other in Vegas. And then we'll probably record two like while we're in the same room at New Media Expo. So that way we'll have at least one or two in the can. But we generally, what we'll do is in terms of like, especially when we have guests, is we have an Evernote shared notebook. So that's where we put all this stuff is we'll say, hey, we have a list of possible asks. We have a list of topics. And what we're trying to do is going forward is with topics is what we'll do is if we have a bit of a run on a topic or it's something that people have had us talk about recently, is that maybe we'll think of a guest to put on and then we'll do that ask. And that's what I do. I'm the guy that generally asks the guests to come on because I've had experience doing it for all these other podcasts. I actually have text expander snippets that are already pre-programmed for that kind of stuff from, you know, podcasts of yore. But yeah, we generally use Evernote. And then in order to just communicate back and forth, like Schechter would just shoot me an iMessage saying, hey, what do you want to talk about this week? I'm like, oh, well, like this episode was about, you know, tools, because we haven't talked about the tools we use in a long time. So 98 is mainly about the tools that we're using. And, spoiler alert, it hasn't changed much. We'll then do another list of topics that are in Evernote that we might want to cover. So that's kind of where we do most of that work because he puts a lot of his meeting notes and his information goes into Evernote. And same here, we treat Evernote kind of the same way. So that's the best use I can find for it. Plus, the reason I like using Evernote that for that stuff as well is that if we're in a place and we see something that like, say we see an image or something or whatnot, we can capture that. And then I can put it into that, you know, notebook later on. Or if I want to take a picture of like some kind of workflow I've got going on, I can put it in there. So Evernote's pretty, it's not just ubiquitous, but it's also got a lot of flexibility. So that's kind of why we used to use NVAlt for that kind of stuff. And for show notes, when I used to have to post the episodes or when both of us could. But Schechter's the one that posts the show because he's got access to the CMS. So he's the one that goes in and posts it. So basically, what we'll do is once I'm done editing the episode, I'll put it into a Dropbox folder that we share with Mike Hurley as well. And then Schechter goes in, because Hurley used to be the one that would post them, and then Schechter goes in and posts them. So I just drop it in there, and I will put in, and then him and I have our own shared Dropbox folder where we put the audio files. So Schechter will drop his audio into our shared Dropbox folder, and then we have, like, so it's called Mics on Mics, and then we have a shared Dropbox folder called Mics on Mics 5x5, and that's the one where we'll put the episodes once they're completely ready to go, and that's where his show notes will go. So it's a pretty basic workflow, but it works for us. I mean, you don't want to complicate that too much, because, again, for him especially, it's a side project, right? Like, it's a side job. For me, it's part of my larger, you know, I guess larger work that I do. But for him, you know, it's a side project. So if we added too many layers to it, that's why I was doing scheduling. That's why if we had kept doing interviews with guests, we may have had some episodes where it was just me and the guest, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he can't just up and take breaks and record when he wants, whereas I can. So, you know, within reason. So that's kind of how we work it. And I mean, simpler is always better, because you can always scale simplicity, right? Like, you can always say, okay, well, we need to add more to this. So how do we, let's create a notebook stack, and then we'll create within that several notebooks, and one's going to be like, I mean, the tools that we use scale very well. You know, Dropbox, Evernote, they scale really well. So we just keep using that. And I mean, I have no interest in upgrading GarageBand to like Logic or anything right now. You know, just like I have no interest in adding I could add a mixer or, you know, to the mix, no pun intended, but I don't see, I mean, it's not the main thrust of what I do. And also I don't have the space to leave it set up all the time. And that's what you want to do with something like that, is you want to say, okay, I mean, having worked in theater and having done, I've worked in campus radio actually years ago, is that you want to leave settings the way they are. So that way when you just want to plug and go. Whereas with the mic I use, the Blue Spark Digital, is I can just plug it in. The only thing I have to do is turn up the gain, because it defaults back to a lower gain setting. And then that's it. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I live in fear, actually, that my kids are going to have the office here with the mixer, and I'm going to come here and see all the sliders and knobs and stuff just completely. I mean,
have you marked them? Have you done like the whole like gel pen or marking of where they need to be?
I've taken photos of it, which works well enough, and
that's true. That's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, because I also think if I had marker on it, then they'd go grab a marker and start adding marks to that.
I was even thinking, like, if you add marker to it, then good luck reselling it. But so yeah. photos make more sense. But yeah, kids see one mark on something, like, oh, that's fair game.
Pretty soon you've got marks everywhere, and they all are meaningless. So I don't know what I'm doing with a mixer. And so it's all kind of just, it's set up and I've left it, and probably would be a good time to evaluate and go back and make sure I'm actually sounding good. But yeah.
We're at that time of year. Yeah. Well, at least for everybody else, not for me. I start in February, but that's a whole other story.
Right. That's right. And that's where I don't want to go too deep on Evernote too, actually, is one thing. Cause that's one of those things. And there's, you know, I know you've got, like, there's links to Brett Kelly's book and all that kind of stuff. But that it's a tool that I, the people who I respect as far as being productive and on top of things, or at least putting a good appearance of being productive and on top of things. And they use that. And I just can never, there's something about it that doesn't click for me. That's fine. It's not, doesn't have to be for everybody, but I really want to like it. That's the thing. But what was I going to say? Oh, so the show notes and stuff, that's the other Mike, Mark Schechter, who handles that stuff.
Yeah.
And then as far as calendar and stuff, you guys just use a shared Google Calendar? And
no, we don't really use a shared Google Calendar, because, I mean, again, we record once a week. He doesn't deal with I've used, in order to schedule with people, I'll use like a Doodle Calendar or something like that. But generally, in the past, what I've done is I've just we know when he can record, so I have to do a bit of an email dance with people, which is not how I like to schedule things.
Yeah.
I prefer to use Doodle to do that, because, I mean, I'm at a point now where you don't need to use email to do scheduling if you have the tools in place or the services in place to do it. Whether you're using like Doodle or Schedule Once is another one I've heard great things about. But Schechter doesn't I'll send him calendar invites and he just ignores them. So it's like, all right, well, whatever. So what we'll do is at the end of every recording session is we'll sit down, and we actually do the ads at the end of the sessions too. So we'll sit down and we'll figure out what ads we have to do. And then there's some things we have to do on the 5x5 side to show that we've done the ads and all that stuff. But I'll say, okay, so next week, same time. And we generally have a standing recording time of every Tuesday at 6:30 Pacific. Which again is like the whole idea we were talking about earlier, where it's just after dinner for me, and my son Colton goes to bed at 7:30. So we try to do only an hour. And, so last night we did the recording for this week and, one of this week's episodes. And, what happened was, is that we wrapped at 7:30. And so it was great because my son could go to bed on time or just a little bit past his normal time. But for Schechter, because for him, when I start at 6:30, it's 9:30 for him. That's after his kids go to bed and he spends some time with his wife. So it's a bit of a tricky spot there.
Yeah.
But so we try to stay with that schedule. I mean, we could go a half hour earlier on my side of the equation, but then he would be losing out on time with his wife, which he doesn't want to do. And that's understandable. Yeah. If we go any later, if we start at 7 my time, then my kid goes to bed too late, which throws off everything for the next day.
Yeah.
So it's a very, it's very tricky. And on Thursday is going to be interesting because Thursday we're recording two episodes. So we're not going to be done until 8:30, but my son goes to daycare the next day. So we can actually have him stay up a little bit later because of the fact that when he goes to daycare, he gets a nap in anyways, because they actually make them take a nap. As much as my 3-year-old doesn't need a nap anymore, they kind of have quiet time because there's some younger kids there. So that will work out okay. But yeah, it's for us, we don't really use a shared calendar. It's more like, okay, well, we're going to record every week at this time. And if you need to make a change, he'll tell me on iMessage and then I'll say, okay. And then we'll just hash it out right then and there. And normally he says, well, I have to check with my wife. And I'm like, yeah, well, I have to check with my wife too. So then and then we just come back to it later. So we generally just do quick back and forths over iMessage, which he's pretty good about getting back to. I mean, again, the 3-hour time difference works very well in my favor because he's normally trying to reach me when my day is just starting because it's his lunchtime and my day is just getting underway. So he's already got a good sense of what's going to be happening. And I just have I haven't planned anything yet, so it kind of works out where it's like, all right, yeah, I haven't done any of that yet, so sure, let's do it.
Yeah. And then you mentioned recording sponsor spots post episode or post recording of the actual episode, and which I actually, when I was listening to the, I think, what did I say, 97, the second most recent episode, I was curious because it sounded like it was live or like a live thing, but then there's just a little audio tick that, and I'm, obviously
yeah, there was.
Listening.
Yeah, there was an audio tick in that episode,
and so I was curious what you guys were doing, and I haven't but I haven't listened to every single episode, so I don't know what you've been doing all the time. But as opposed to some folks, will just record it live in the show, but you guys do it after the fact, but then still do it as a like both of you. It's not just like one of you is doing the read.
Yeah, and we generally try not to do blanket reads. Yeah. Squarespace at this point, who sponsored our podcast, and actually 5x5 for like, I use Squarespace, so that makes it really easy. And I think you use Squarespace too, don't you? Squarespace?
Not for the site. No, I have. No. I have.
You use WordPress. You're using WordPress.
Yeah,
on?
Yeah.
But, and that's the other great thing is like we've had others like HostGator that have sponsored us, and Schechter uses HostGator, and I've used all that stuff as well. So I just think that if we do the spots at the time, then it breaks up the conversation too much. And I like to do it later so that way, and I can find natural breaks in the conversation because there'll be points and you'll hear them very often where I'll go, well, let's shift gears for a second. Like, and that's where I'm like, okay, good. And if there was enough of a break there, which again, if he breathes, I can get it in there. And I hope I'm going to say, Schechter, listen to this episode, because basically I'm bashing you the whole time. I'm giving you like podcasting advice that I can't give you in person because I'm afraid of you. Because you're from Brooklyn, right? You're a New Yorker. And Canadians all think New Yorkers are like, we're going to get mugged when we go there because that's what we watched on TV when we were kids.
When you meet in Vegas, is that going to be the first time you actually have met, or have you met?
Oh, no. We actually met the first time in May of last year. Because I went to Book Expo America and we hung out for an hour or two and then I had to leave. And then we saw each other again at World Domination Summit. And then I saw him again. Then I saw him again in January because he came to the OmniFocus thing. They asked him to be part of that. So he came and stayed in our hotel room then. And then I saw him at, so I've seen him about four times now.
Yeah.
So we've met, but yeah, we hadn't met. We were about what? How many episodes in? I can't even think. It was May last year, so we're well within a year, or getting into that year mark when we met for the first time in person, which was bizarre.
It's interesting because so many podcasters that you, popular or otherwise, that you listen to often don't like. I have a show, the Intellectual Radio Program, that I do with a couple other guys, Adam Clark and Tim Smith, and we've never met.
Yep,
in person.
It's not unusual.
Yeah, I often wonder, that's fairly normal. But I often wonder about actually meeting and how that might change the dynamic of a show. I mean, it's not like it's that weird of a show. We're not discussing anything that personal,
I think actually it turns things a bit. I mean, we've done a bit more personal stuff because we've actually had the chance to chat. Like, I've stayed at his home. I mean, hey, anytime you come to Victoria, I said, you've got a place to stay. Once we take over the basement suite, then we've got a whole suite downstairs. So, you know, his whole family could come and stay. So, I mean, what it did was actually strengthen things a bit because, I mean, you've already been talking for so long that you feel like you know the person anyway, right? Like, yeah. There's a lot of stuff there. So now you can share a beer with them or you can have, you know, hang out with them and you know, really get to, I mean, we would have known pretty quickly if we couldn't stand each other, I think. It would have been one of those things where it's like, okay, you know what? we just never can meet again because we're really good online, but, you know, offline we're not so good. So, yeah. But no, we've never really had, and the dynamics carried over quite well. But, you know, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to do it. And I can't see us stopping unless something really drastic happens. Like, I mean, even if we aren't on, like if we ever leave the network or if the network ever says, hey, you know, we're tired of having a Canadian on the network or something like that.
Yeah.
We have our Commonwealth quotient.
Dalrymple
with Dalrymple. And then of course the, Matt and Mike. So we don't need another Canadian. Then we'll probably keep doing it somewhere else. We'll do something different. Right. Cause I mean, there's just something about the medium that really appeals to me. And I mean, having worked in campus radio and college radio back when I was living in Hamilton, I missed it, you know, and this, I mean, I have what's the saying? I have a face for radio,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I like doing this stuff because I mean, and literally this morning, rolled out of bed, splashed water on my face, got dressed, grabbed my cup of coffee, pulled the mic up to the computer, threw on my headphones, ready to go.
Yeah.
Right. And that, I mean, it's that simple. And once you do it more and more, you get really comfortable where you can have, and you can go down rabbit holes for hours and hours that you never intended on going down and hijack the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can do that stuff.
This is good. This is helping my own Canadian content so I don't get kicked out of the country.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Because what was it, Maple or something like that we have to prescribe to? I remember when I worked in campus radio, you had like 70% Canadian content and we could only play like one hit for every 100 songs. So, and the one hit we would play was like, I remember working in campus radio and I played, what was it? My first year, I played Bachman Turner's Overdrive. What did I play? Hey You.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, it's Canadian content. Like, this is not a classic rock station. This is an alternative rock station. You cannot play Bachman Turner Overdrive. I'm like, oh, come on. They're cool. And I wasn't allowed on the radio for a while after that. So
nice. And people maybe outside of Canada who maybe think we're joking, but actually there is a Canadian content or has been. Yep. It's been lessened over the years. But TV, media, like music, radio, all that kind of stuff. Had to have a certain amount of Canadian content that was played just because we're so geographically close and culturally close to the US that it tended to just overwhelm everything, I guess. And the fear was that whatever, that we wouldn't.
I really wish that our CBC was more like BBC now anyways. I think that there's something about it. You know, I mean, I know that Americans and a lot of Americans I've talked to have said, oh, you have the CBC like it's like some kind of, you know, bastion of greatness, and we pay for it, so it should be, hopefully it would be, right? It's a text. But I mean, especially people who are using listening to NPR, I'm like, because that's what CBC is, kind of. It's like our NPR. But I really wish our television stuff was like the BBC in the UK, where we had like our own original series and that that's what you kind of, you know, they had to be. I mean, and CBC's kind of done, they've gone down a bit of a different path. There's a lot more news stuff, I guess, and game shows. And I really wish there was more like original program. We're seeing more of it, I think. But we're seeing that stuff show up on like Netflix now, where it's like a Netflix original series that's done by Canadians or whatever. So,
yeah.
We don't want it to, I mean, what are we, a cultural mosaic, right? I guess that's what they called us for years and years, because you can each have, I mean, Quebec's its own nation, for crying out loud. So, I mean, not that I'm against that. I love that idea. But
you're going to get so much email.
but I think that, yeah, there's some things that we do very differently up here that still, you know, poutine. McDonald's has poutine now. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. Everybody's got McDonald's,
but McDonald's had held out for so long. They have poutine. And I remember we were in World Domination Summit, and Mike Rohde and Schechter and I were out. Mike Rohde is the author of the Sketchnote Handbook, and he's been on several podcasts on the 5x5 network, as well as others. And he had never had poutine before. And so we're in this Portland place, and I'm like, oh, you got to have poutine. And Schechter's like, what's the thing with poutine? And he did, and they loved it. They love it. And I'm like, he's from Wisconsin, right? So I'm like, well, you like, that's like the cheese place. Like, yeah. How could you not have like poutine? Like, it's just a natural fit.
There's and a marketing opportunity there.
Absolutely. So yeah, again, but you know, and I don't have, and the one thing that Schechter and I like to do during our podcast, which is very Canadian and American, is to have the what are you drinking segment. So that's like, we've tried to keep that. Don't ever look for that to disappear, because it's our thing. We loved it, because it's actually, I mean, and speaking of, I know we talked about technical difficulties off the top, and Mac Drifter has his beer cellar thing going, right? And that's why I started mine, because I saw what he was doing. I'm like, oh, that looks like a good idea. And I know you said that you don't really use Evernote, right? Like, you've kind of like, how do I fit this in? I use it for my beer cellar too. So I use it for a lot of cool things. And it's actually one of the ways that I've got my wife to use some kind of technology is, one of the things I did was, we have an urban garden here, like in our yard, and I was I had her take pictures of the plants and identify them in Evernote, because I accidentally pulled like mint one year thinking it was a weed, and pulled a couple other things thinking it was. So I said, well, just use Evernote, take a picture of it. That way I'll know what it is, so I can look at the Evernote thing. And maybe I knew it wasn't a weed, and I just pulled it anyway just to see if I could get her to use Evernote. But you know, it worked.
It was a workflow. Okay, so I know you have a time crunch here, or commitment to get going here and give your kids breakfast or school or whatever. Any last minute tips as far as, just from speaking from your day job side of things, productivityist.com.
See, I told you, man. I guess stuff. We're not productivityist.
Productivityist.
Yeah.
There you go. That side of things, which you can find at productivityist.com. And I'll, links will be in the show notes, of course, sskTN.com. And show me your mic and look for Mike's smiling face. From that side of things, that you, advice maybe for podcasters, and we've talked a lot about some of the workflow stuff that you guys do, but just in general, whether it's your show or not, stuff that you've come across or ideas you've had maybe that folks, podcasting folks, could pick up on and would maybe help with that. Is that putting you on the spot?
No. I think that, yeah, like, again, it's like you said, workflow not too long ago, but like, I mean, the Evernote joke, but it's true. Like, I mean, I think looking at, like, kind of mapping it out a bit is never a bad idea when you're starting and saying, okay, well, who do I want to reach? Because it's like, what's happened is, you know, like, blogging, for example, and Merlin did a great talk with Gruber back in at South by Southwest, where he said, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but you know, like, don't do a blog about Star Wars. Do a blog about that one Jawa that did that one thing in Star Wars. Like, if you're going to do a podcast, you know, make sure it's something you're really passionate about. Map it out. Like, say, okay, what do I need? You don't need to have the best equipment. You need to have good equipment, because you want to be able to not worry about your equipment, you know, over time. You don't want to have to say, okay, well, now I have this headset mic I've been using, and oh, that's not going to work, so I'm going to have to get another mic, and then another mic. Just get like a Blue Yeti is a great mic to start with, right? Because it's just, it's reliable. It's got a good enough bass. The reason I've got this Spark Digital is because it works on my iPad and iPhone as well. So now I've got one that I can travel with, which is great. Just, you know, find something that you're really passionate about, stick with it. And then just, you know, just get, it's like anything else, just do it and get better at it. And people will start to listen. You know, if you're, if you're passionate about it and you're putting it out there and you're proud of it, then you're going to promote it. And you're going to promote it in a way that doesn't come off as smarmy or slimy or anything like that. You're just going to say, hey, look, I have some thoughts on, you know, the 1983 show V, because the other remake I didn't like. So I'm going to do a podcast about that. And it's going to be all like character study. And I know one of the newer fads, which I don't think is a fad after all. I think it's going to be something that's worth exploring, is like the miniseries podcast type stuff.
Yeah.
Where you'll only do like 10 episodes. And that's the other thing, is don't be afraid to like do experiment with that. Say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a 9-part series on, you know, the Ham Tyler, like the Michael, or I'm going to do a podcast about Michael Ironside, and it's going to be like a 12-part series about like the different things he's done. And then that's it. Or say, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast about V, and I'm going to have, I'm going to do it by season. So I'm going to say, hey, you know, there's 10 episodes in season one, then I'm going to take a 4-week break and then come back and do season two. Like, don't give yourself permission to do that, but then stick with it. Like, I know you said, Chris, that, you know, taking a week off is the cardinal sin of podcasting, and blogging is the same way, right? Like if you have a schedule and then you stop doing it, or you deviate from it too much, people go, what's going on? But if you say from the beginning, hey, guess what? We're going to do seasons, and then during the summer, I'm going to take a break. People will respect that, and they'll understand that. So, I mean, don't be afraid to say, hey, what's my time look like? Oh, you know what? During the summer, I'm not going to do any podcasting. And during the holidays, I'm not going to do any podcasting either. Okay, so we're going to break it down into, you know, like a TV series would. Like right now, there's nothing more frustrating than waiting for the next season of Arrow to start for me. Because I'm like, wait a minute, January 15th is so far from now. But, you know, I mean, there's so much going on over the holiday season I may not watch anyway. And that's the thing, is that everything is all on demand now anyway. So, I mean, people can listen to episode 1 of Mics on Mics, episode 38, episode 96, whatever they want. And that's what they can do with yours, because they live on, right? So keep that in mind. Don't just say, okay, well, it's a podcast, I have to do it every week, or I have to do it 5 times a week, or whatever you want to do. I mean, just make sure you're passionate about it, and make sure that you just, if you have a structure, like anything else, or a system that's going to help you, you know, foster that discipline and foster that consistency, then you're going to get better at it. And when you get better at it, then people are going to see that, and they're going to want to listen.
Bingo. And that's, I think the biggest thing is that, well, not the biggest thing, but one of the most important things, underheard things, is that idea that just because it's been done this way doesn't mean you can't flip it a bit and reinvent. Just because Dan Benjamin does this, or Leo Laporte, or whoever your peers that you look up to, like aspire to, you know, do the quality of the thing that they're doing, but you don't have to aspire to do it exactly the same way. So,
yeah, exactly. Just, I mean, what's the, I've been seeing this quote, the Dr. Seuss quote flying around lately, the whole, like, you know, you have feet on your shoes or whatever, you get to decide where you want to go. Like, it's very simple, but it's true. Like, I mean, you're the only one that's going to, I mean, you're not Dan Benjamin, you're not Leo Laporte, you're not Mike Montero, you're not any of those guys. You're you. So do it your, I mean, learn, like, take what they've done and say, oh, because equipment is equipment, right? It's, I mean, you know, how you use a hammer is going to be different than how somebody else uses a hammer. Somebody's going to use it better than you initially, but eventually you're going to say, hey, what if I used it this way? What if I, you know, turned it on its side and did it this way instead? Like, I mean, yeah, there's no right way to do your podcast, but there is a right structure that you can set up to help make your podcast better. And that revolves around like equipment, timing, all that stuff. So yeah, don't be afraid to turn convention on its head, because that's what it's there for.
Yeah. And, in closing, I'll ask you about some podcasts that you listen to and what app or device you listen to them on. But that's going back to the linking to the technical difficulties guys. I think just the show notes that they're doing that we alluded to earlier, that's just one way that, like, they have sort of this editorial voice through their show notes that makes it worth, I think, podcasters often struggle with, well, nobody's going to come visit my page or going to subscribe in iTunes, let's say. So these guys flipped it a bit and said, like, show notes are acknowledged as being quite important for a lot of podcasts, but they sort of took it to another level with this sort of editorial voice, like I said, through the show notes, with extra little added commentary and more deeper research on what happened to be getting talked about in the podcast, and kind of made the podcast blog page or episode page a destination worth visiting, even if you've listen to the show. And just as one example, anyways.
And then, of course, what's Patrick Ronan and CJ and those guys doing the Unrecorded podcast, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, which is, again, I mean, it's a blog post, really. That's what it breaks down to.
Yeah.
But it's the genesis of that blog post is a conversation, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's almost like a meeting. Like, you could really look at it that way and say, hey, it's a meeting. But, yeah, I think that yeah, I mean, there's some really cool ways to do it. And show notes, yeah, that's one way for sure. I think that those, I mean, because most people think of those as like, oh, I have to have them because SEO and all that stuff. But if you do something inventive with them, then that's going to be pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, the way I end all the shows, I guess, is asking podcasts and what podcasts you listen to. I don't know if you have your
I've got
a choice. Or
I use my iPhone. I use Downcast. Although I am looking forward to seeing what Marco delivers. I don't know if it's out yet, but
no, I don't think so.
Overcast, I think, is what his is called, right, or something. Yeah. But I use Downcast. I did use Instacast for the longest time, but I've got really used to using Downcast now, and I really like it. Podcasts I listen to. I used to listen to Here's the Thing a lot, but since it's been canceled. And then Alec Baldwin's show on MSNBC or CNBC got canceled too because he was a jerk. I really like that show because it was a good dynamic.
They're just republishing old episodes
They're just republishing.
Because I can't remember who it was. It was somebody who was like, oh, great. It was Lorne Michaels, actually. I was like, oh, that'll be really interesting. And I was listening to it. I was like, I've listened to this already.
Yeah, they're just rehashing.
Yeah, stuff. Which is kind of like, that's one way I wouldn't try and flip podcasting. Like,
don't. I mean, reruns really don't exist in the podcasting world, considering they can go back and look at the original episode.
Totally.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
That's where old media goes, oh, wait, we can just rerun it. Well, yeah they could rerun it themselves, the listener.
Yeah.
I listened to The Nerdist. Chris Hardwick's podcast. Love Chris Hardwick. I've loved him for a long, and he's a productivity nerd too. As you know, I mean, he's got a lot of shows going on. Podcast One is an interesting podcast network, which is like, it's got like all the celebrity podcasts on it. Like Bret Easton Ellis has a podcast. I don't listen to that one, but I'm a bit of a wrestling fan. Still to this day, I don't pay as much attention to it, but I remember the old days. So Stone Cold Steve Austin has a show. Where he interviews the wrestlers and other people, but mainly like wrestlers from like when I was growing up or even when I was a teenager. So he's had like Diamond Dallas Page and Scott Hall. So I listen to those just to hear some of those stories. And same with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho has a podcast, a Canadian boy from Winnipeg. He has a podcast. I listen to that. So I try to listen to podcasts more that are outside of where I spend most of my day because I need that break, right? But I listen to Back to Work with Merlin and Dan. Actually, pretty much all the 5x5 podcasts. What other ones do I have? Let's see. Michael Hyatt's podcast. I occasionally will throw that on as well. I think it's called This Is Your Life. Todd Henry's Accidental Creative is another great one. Beyond that, just trying to think if there's any others. Discultured, I still listen to from my buddy Anthony Marco. He's at anthonymarco.com. He's like the guy who I've known him for over 20 years. My God. And he's based in Hamilton. He's done so many podcasts. He still does Discultured. He has like a best episode ever where him and another couple people go on and they talk about the different TV series. So I listen to a lot of his podcasts because many of them are very short. But that's generally it. Those are the ones that I spend most of my time listening to because there's just so many. Tom Merritt, when he was doing his podcasts on Twit, I was listening to them like Forecast and stuff. But since he's leaving Twit, I don't know. I know he's going to be doing some other stuff, so I might pay more attention to what he's been doing off of Twit as well. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I've got a fairly strict podcasting diet because what will happen is I'll just when I'm doing the dishes or if I'm on the bus taking a commute downtown or something, that's when I'll throw on a podcast because it's nice, you know, fodder for just the ride or whatever. If I really kind of want to just have some time to do that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, in wrapping up, where can folks, we've sort of covered most of it, I think, but where can folks find you on the internet? What's your online?
You can find me at productivityist.com. That's productivityist.com. And also I'm at Mike Vardy on the Twitter and on app.net as well.
Nice.
And I'm writing in other places too, which is great. So, but if you go to productivityist.com, you'll follow me on Twitter, you'll see all that stuff. So
yeah. Cool. Well, thanks, Mike, for taking time and patiently, or making your kids wait patiently, I guess, while you or not so patiently.
Thanks for having me, and I hope we covered at least a little bit of what you wanted to talk about, and I hope everyone learned something. That's the big thing. That's, either about about Canada, about, you know, even, you know, mainly about Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the goal here, I think. And just so this is show us your mic. I think you've literally changed this week to show us your mic, as M-I-K-E.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
So, show us a butcher Canadian mic, I think is probably what the subtitle will be.
But I had a great time. Thanks for having me on, and I'm glad we're able to do this before the holiday season really kicks into gear. And enjoy your holiday time.
Yeah, likewise, you too out there in warmer British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And my thanks to you folks for listening. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitters at iChris, and SSKTN is on Twitter at SSKTN, and all over the place. You're listening to Show Me Your Mic on SSKTN. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.